This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachowiak. Duke Energy is closing down another coal-fired power plant in favor of one that uses natural gas. Utility says it'll save money, produce cleaner energy, and create hundreds of construction jobs while the plant converts to natural gas over the next 4 years. But environmentalists say natural gas has consequences of its own. Meanwhile, state lawmakers could allow more time for Duke Energy to clean up the byproduct of the coal plant in Asheville, coal ash. Kirk Ross has been following the story. He's Capitol Bureau Chief for the Carolina Public Press in Asheville, and he joins me now from the legislature in Raleigh. Kirk, welcome back to the State of Things.
Thanks a lot, Frank. Well, I'm happy to be back.
So tell us, give us some of the details of this plan, this conversion from a coal plant to natural gas in Asheville.
Well, this came as a little bit of a surprise. But not when you consider the direction of things in the power industry in the long run. Duke had originally planned to add a couple of oil-fired units to meet the growing demand in the area to this plant and keep it as a coal-fired plant. There was talk in the last couple of years that maybe there would be another plan for it. And last year, the legislature approved a grant, what's called a JMAC grant, a jobs grant, to a company in that's based in Canton, Evergreen Packaging, to help convert a couple of its coal fire burners. I think there are five, to convert two of those to natural gas, and that involved putting in a bigger line. This is a complicated story, by the way.
Well, but let me just stop you right there. That grant, yeah. just to kind of clarify a little bit, the grant is involved in promoting job creation, and the jobs get created in the construction or in the actual conversion. It's not really incentives to change to natural gas so much as create jobs, which happens when you convert a plant, right?
Well, and there's also, it was really a requirement for the company to do that to meet EPA standards, which are tightening on coal emissions. So this story is all kind of tied together. So a new line is going to come down I-26 to that plant. And Senator Tom Apodaca, in his conversations with Duke Energy, mused at some point, well, can that line be used to go to the Asheville plant, to convert it to the Asheville plant? And, you know, several things led to others. And we have this plan that Duke's come out with. They're going to work with PSNC to expand that capacity of that line. And they're going to shut down the coal fire burners here in a couple of years and convert over to natural gas with the plant. Natural gas and a little bit of solar energy, and we'll get into that mix. It's a fairly large project. It involves about $750 million of investment at the plant and about 300 and some change million in Spartanburg for some transmission and substation work.
Let's talk about that plant in Asheville. How much electricity does it produce? Is it operating at full capacity?
You know, when Duke and Progress merged, the theme was that they would start retiring and phasing out the older, less efficient, mostly coal fire units, and that plant was one of them. It's I can't tell you how often it kicks in, but it is not one of the more highly used plants in the Duke fleet. It can produce, I think, about 375 megawatts right now, and the expansion would have added enough capacity to bring it up around 700. But the problem was from both the environmental community and from the power industry is that it was still going to rely on coal for that expansion, and so this allows Duke to use a cheaper fuel and to modernize that facility we'll see exactly what the mix is of solar and natural gas, but the capacity of the plant will be somewhere around 650.
Well, so before we get to the solar, let's talk about the impact of using natural gas. On the one hand, for environmentalists, certainly those who have been opposed to coal and its carbon producing and what it does to the air and what it does to the water, that might be kind of good news. On the other hand, it does mean a bigger demand for natural gas. Where do environmentalists stand on this?
Right. Well, this has been considered a big win in a lot of ways by the environmental community. The caveat is in the fact that instead of going to a higher mix of renewable fuels, they're going to rely again on a fossil fuel. And I'm not sure that that's going to drive the fracking industry in North Carolina. I think the fracking industry is kind of independent of the natural gas industry in a lot of ways. It's not very well developed in North Carolina right now. It's dubious that it's going to be take off rapidly anytime soon. But it's still a concern that it's a fossil fuel. It's still producing a lot of carbon dioxide. Granted, the emissions are going to be cut maybe in half for that. But it's still a reliance on the old school fuels.
Tell us a little bit about the plant itself, how long it's been producing energy from coal, and it's right there on Lake Julian, right?
Right. And it's been in service since, I think, 1964, and they kept adding capacity to it over the years. It's got two large coal areas. And one pond built in coal ash areas. I'm sorry, one built in 64 when the plant was put online, and the other built in the early 80s. That is the one it's essentially the coal ash impoundment and the plant's stormwater runoff pond at the same time, right on the edge of Lake Julian, right next to the French Broad. And one of the big concerns about this bill, the Mountain Energy Act, that is sailing through the legislature as we speak, one of the concerns is that it gives Duke another couple of years before they have to clean up the coal ash impoundments.
Was that quid pro quo for converting to natural gas, or those kind of separate tracks?
Well, the company's point, and just to back up for a second, this is one of the four high-priority sites that was named in the coal ash legislation last year. And you may recall that part of the ending debate of the coal ash legislation were people from various parts of the state. There are 14 of these sites around the state. People from various legislators from various parts of the state trying to get their site listed as a priority. And sponsors of the bill were steadfast that it was just these four sites. So it's interesting that they're pulling back on that they're going to give them another couple of years. The company's point is they can't do the conversion and all the work at the same time, that the construction and the excavation work wouldn't be able to coincide. Also keep in mind that there's an ongoing removal of coal ash from this plant. That's where it's going to the Asheville Airport in a line landfill underneath a taxiway, not a runway. And so there is an ongoing solution to what's going on in that site, but whether that gets slowed down or not is still a little unclear.
So what to do with the coal ash that's been generated already? There is a solution. Right. Let's take it to the airport, put it under the taxiway. And that seems to be a solution that has mostly everybody happy. Am I right?
Yeah, it's been one of the, the legislature's been looking hard, and Duke as well, for what they're calling beneficial uses of all this stuff around the state. And that seems to be one model that people are pretty satisfied with. It's got a good solid cap on top of it. It's in a lined landfill. It's probably not going to be disturbed. And so that that is probably a true win-win because they need fill out at that airport to expand. So that's a model that we'll see in other sites around the state. I expect
we've been talking around the renewables part of this and solar energy. Duke is touting this as part of the conversion, the use of solar. How much solar? What percentage of it would be solar, or do we know yet?
No, it's not really clear in the company's press releases, and I'm not sure that they even know right now how much solar. It's certainly a direction that things are going in nationwide. It's where solar and natural gas, sometimes in combination, or renewables and natural gas, sometimes in combination, are being used to replace coal, but I think that'll be something that a lot of folks are going to look at very carefully is what's the mix here? Is it just basically going to be another big fossil fuel plant, or is it going to be, how green is it going to be?
Does this suggest that Duke has sort of put an end to expansion of any of its coal plants as coal plants, or can't we conclude that yet?
Well, we're seeing the wind down of coal nationwide. The Sierra Club's got this Beyond Coal campaign that they've been working on for a long time. The folks in Asheville have been working on this project for a long time. And if you look at when Progress and Duke merged, and that strategy, just in North Carolina, 24 separate generating units in 8-9 power plants across the state have been retired, all coal-fired units. And you have a similar situation down in Wilmington with the Sutton plant. It's been retired. It's a natural gas plant.
All right, we'll stay tuned. Kirk Ross, Capital Bureau Chief of the Carolina Public Press, thanks so much.
You bet.
Just ahead, the author of Longmire, the crime series, talks about developing characters for books and TV. You'll hear about it on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay with us.